seek the Lord's help,
but I did
time this morning we turn to the glory of His Word which we read together, the book of the Acts, chapter 27. And we read again at verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it will be even as it was told. God had given the Apostle Paul an assurance that he was to preach the gospel at home. We have that in two separate places. One of them in two or three previous chapters, chapter 23, where he said, On the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Chapter 23 and verse 11. But various circumstances arose from time to time that threatened to defeat God's purpose. When Paul was seized in the temple, the people violently dragged him out, and we read that they went about to kill him. When he made his defense before them, in madness they cried, Away with this fellow from the earth. It is not fit that he should live. When he was standing before the Jewish council, there was such a strong disagreement between them that he was in danger of being pulled in pieces by them. Then there was formed a conspiracy of more than 40 persons to take away his life, as we read in Acts 23 and 14 and 15. And then there was formed a conspiracy on that one was defeated almost by a miracle. It was defeated again in like manner. Now at last Paul was on his way to Rome by sea. And behold, he is overtaken by a storm. A storm so severe that it seemed to cut off all hopes of ever arriving at his final destination, Rome. It was a word used as the typhoon that we have the word typhoon from. And even Paul seems to have given up all expectation that his life would be spared. But God sent an angel to dispel his fear and to assure the apostle that what had been said to him respecting his standing before Caesar would certainly be accomplished. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And he took a message of comfort and encouragement, not only for himself, but to all who were with him on the ship. They said to him, Be of good cheer. Now, what Paul was doing, or how he was occupied when this storm at sea took place, we are not told. Perhaps he was praying, as that is the recourse of any Christian in any of the storms of life. And to that also there is a promise added, for God says, Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And we are not told where he was, but considering that he was on a ship as a prisoner, and so many others with him, it is doubtful if Paul was alone. He certainly, I don't think, would have the privilege of a cabin of his own. And yet he seems to have been alone, for although there was almost 300 with him on ship, none of them, it seems, was aware of the privileges, the personal privileges that Paul experienced that day, nor were they aware of the message that he received. And that is how it is to this day. The Lord, in the same congregation, same church, same congregation, and even in the same pew, can hold communion with one and yet not with another. Remember what one of the disciples said, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not into the world?" But even regarding his people, not even those who are partakers of God's grace are given the same privileges. We have, in other words, for example, not all were privileged to see the raising of Jesus' daughter. Not all were witnesses of the Lord's transfiguration. Only Peter, James, and John. And although the Savior loved them all, yet still it is John who is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Perhaps our comforts, I believe this personally, and I believe our privileges, relate or correspond with our trials. And so it certainly was here. It was not Luke, although he was on the ship, but others also, but Paul who had to appear before Caesar, before Nero, and who had to suffer. So it was Paul alone who enjoyed this privilege. Paul only saw this vision. We read in the text, "There stood by me this night, by me." And I want to look for a little with you at the messenger, that the purpose of God and the message of God and the message, the outcome of it. Now, "There stood by me this night the angel of God." We know very little about angels. Their name is more expressive of office than it is of their nature. They seem to have been the first created beings, and they are proverbial for wisdom, and we read in the Bible they excel in strength, and we know what havoc one angel caused against the Assyrians, the thousands that were slain by one angel. And yet they hearken to God's voice and to his commands. He says to one, "Go," and he goes. To another, "Come," and he comes. And to them all, "Do this," and they do it. Now they are far elevated above the Lord's people in the rank and estate, and yet the Bible tells us that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister, and to them that shall be the heirs of salvation. Now, such honor and position have all who belong to the household of faith, the family of God, that the very highest of God's creatures are their servants. We know they rejoice over the repentance of one sinner. But more, we are told that they encompass round about believers in the time of danger and trouble. The angel of the Lord encompasses round about them that fear him and deliver them. We know that they convey the souls of believers at death into Abraham's bosom, that is to heaven. And at the resurrection, on the resurrection morning, they will gather together all. We gather all together from end to end of heaven. And we know that they shall be our associates forever and ever. As Paul wrote to the Hebrews, we are come to an innumerable company of angels. We do not know, although we know these things about him, we do not know how the angel found Paul afar off in the sea on a dark, pitch black night, when, as we read there in verse 20, not a star appeared. But we are not to judge their senses and abilities by ours. And yet kind Paul led it, or he did, and encouraged and comforted and strengthened Paul in the midst of the storm that he was experiencing. Now, the Lord no doubt could have given Paul this assurance long before, for he was then in great difficulty to some extent. He had been tossed about by the storm for many days, and God had withheld until all hope that they had of being saved was taken away. Now, that is what the people of God often experience, and his reason for delay is based upon his infinite wisdom, upon his kindness, and upon his love to them. He would teach us that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for him. He would teach us never to despair regarding himself. He would teach us that at evil tide it shall be light, as we're singing together, but morn the joy arise. God comes to do his work when all other physicians are withdrawn, when things are desperate, when things are at extremity. He will display his glory, as he did with the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, who had spent all her money on physicians, and yet was none the better. We have it with Lazarus. After he heard of the case of sickness, he stayed in the same place for 2 days, and even said that he was glad for the sake of his disciples that he was not again present to cure him from his sickness. Glad that he was not present there to cure him, because their faith would be more confirmed to see Lazarus being raised after he had been dead 4 days. Here, at least, an angel was sent, God's messenger. Notice then, secondly, his message, where he says, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." That contains 2 things. There is comfort, and there is encouragement. Fear not, Paul. That is a comfort. But there are many reasons why Paul should begin to fear. He had eaten nothing, we are told, for a length of time. He would have been exhausted with fatigue in the tempest, in the storm. And these circumstances, the body could depress the mind. Also, we know that he knew what fear was. For in one of his epistles, Paul speaks, writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I meant right to verse 3, he said to them that he was with them in weakness and fear, and much trembling. And perhaps here it seems his mind was beginning to waver, weaken, because Paul had nature in him as well as grace. He was still in this body. Was he afraid of sinking in the storm? Was he afraid of appearing before cruel Nero? Was he afraid that he had not done the right thing in appealing unto Caesar? Well, God knew Paul's frame. He remembered that we have dust, he our frame well knows, as we're singing together in Psalm 103. And so he sent his messenger to Paul with these words, "Fear not, Paul." Now, there is nothing by which the Christian or the religion and profession more than having confidence in danger and cheerfulness in trouble. And it would therefore have been sad if Paul had on this time, on this occasion, if he had failed in his spirit. God knew Paul's frame, as he knows the frame of each one of us, and he sent this comforting word, this comforting message to him, "Fear not, Paul." And then secondly, these words contain not only comfort, but also they contain an encouragement. For he says to him, thou must be brought before Caesar. Now, that was encouragement for him regarding himself. In other words, that was God's appointment, God's decree, God's purpose. That was his decree for Paul, and it was very important. Not only were his bonds to be made manifest in the palace, as we read in Philippians chapter 1, and in all other places, but he was to testify the gospel of God's grace and encourage others to speak the word without fear. But more, even there, Paul had to have converts in Christianity. They had converts even in Caesar's household. Now, that was God's design, that was God's purpose. And just because that purpose had to be accomplished, Paul's safety was secured. Nothing could happen. In other words, God's providential design, plan, purpose for Paul ensured his safety and ensured his success. He must reach Rome. He must be brought before Caesar. And that is a reminder to ourselves, truly, that all our times are in his hands. And we are secure until our work is done. But there was also encouragement regarding others. For notice here, the assurance includes not only himself, but the whole company who were with Paul on the ship. For he says this in verse 24, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now, there is no doubt that the angel could have rescued Paul and left the company and the crew to perish. But to save them all for his sake was to put honour on Paul and attach great importance to him. And in that way, God magnifies his own people to this very day. The world knoweth them not. Yet it is owing to them that their very existence is continued. I say that again. The world doth not know them not. But it is owing to these believers that their very existence is continued. Nations are blessed for their sake. They are the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. They may be overlooked in the world because they are not stars, they are not politicians, they are not heroes, but they have a place in the annals of heaven. And for the last righteous man, not a star, not a statesman, not a great politician, for the last righteous man left Sodom, then God destroyed it. And so it will be in this world. Now notice also how Paul addresses those who were with him. They also had suffered being in the tempest. They had been his companions in tribulation. So Paul speaks to them. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And that is a reminder to us that Paul had a tender feeling, a tender heart for others. And as the ship rolled and plunged in the seas, in the storm, the thought of many perishing, and perhaps perishing forever, 260, a deeply affected Paul. 275 without himself. But now Paul rejoices on their behalf and quickly receives to lessen their terror and their anguish with the words of verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe, God, that it will be even as it was told me. Oh, no doubt, Paul had hopes that God's long-suffering towards those who were with him on the ship would prove to their eternal salvation. But notice also there was a prediction. Now, how be it we must be cast upon a certain island, an island, a specific place, and cast there. The ship perishing, but the passengers preserved. And why does Paul mention that? As a sign, surely, that when this eventually took place, all would be persuaded that Paul spoke on divine authority. And that is the design of all prophecy. Not to amuse us, not to perplex us, but to strengthen and confirm our faith when the event occurs, when the event happens. Remember the words of Jesus, "These things have I said unto you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, ye may believe." And that was the purpose of this too. Now the prediction was fulfilled. As they all came to land, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass, for it in verse 44, that they all escaped, that they escaped all safe to land. How would they view Paul? How would they view the Apostle Paul then? When he first came to tell them that an angel of God had given him a message, they would probably consider him an impostor. Fanatic. At least would they not mock him for exposing himself to danger from hardships for one called Jesus, who was crucified, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. But the storm convinced them that Paul had good reason for his confidence. But while they were filled with fear, with terror, with horror, Paul knew whom he had believed and was not ashamed of his hope. "Sir, be of good cheer. I believe God that it will be even as it was said unto me." Oh, no, they called like the crew of Jonah's ship. They called each man upon his own God. But none of these could hear, nor all of them together, nor could save them. But Paul's God could save to the uttermost. And he not only delivered his own servant, but he delivered the entire crew for his sake. Now, that is a reminder to us that God can bring those who oppose his own people to their knees. Very easy. He can make them realize that he has loved us, and verily that he is a God that judgeth in the air. So the great lesson here is of this storm is how God works behind the scene to care for his own people and to carry out his own divine purpose. It was not the skill of the sailor which saved the lives of the 276 people that were aboard that vessel. In ordinary circumstances, all of them would have been lost and perished. It was the power and might of the great God who rules and overrules all things for his own glory. It was the might of the great God who did it all. And this is the comfort and hope and help we have that although the centuries have gone by since that great storm, that the same great God looks after his own people. He looks after them in devastating difficulties, in trials, in troubles, in storms of life. The child of God, the child of God is a father who will bring him out of it all safely. Such pity as a father hath unto his chosen dear. Thine pity shows the Lord to such what are in fear. He will bring them at last to the desired haven. Now the message here is that it will be bright and sunny today, as it seemed for the Apostle Paul when he left on his journey. The south wind blew, it all looked so favorable, and it may be bright and sunny today without a cloud in the sky, but someday trouble will come. The waves will go over our heads, and there will be a judgment, there will be a storm. The Bible tells us our God shall surely come, keep silence from thee. Before him fire shall whisk, great storms shall round about to be. Oh, we will need a Saviour then. How much we will need a Saviour then. So I say, put your trust in him. He will bear you up. He will carry you to safety. He will land you at last on the very shore of glory, where there shall be no more storms, but there shall be peace throughout the countless ages of eternity. So a little there on the purpose of God that Paul was to preach in Rome. And despite being seized in the temple, brought before the council, different conspiracies against him, and finally at last in this great storm, yet God took him to that place which he had promised. And he sent one to minister unto him that stood by me this night, the angel of God, ministering spirits, found Paul in the darkness, the blackness of darkness, in the pitch black night, and found him and encouraged him with his message. Nothing impossible for our great God. We should never despair regarding what Christ is able to do. Many reasons that Paul had for fear. Many reasons in the sufferings, fear of sinking, fear of what lay before. But then the message, thou must be born before Caesar. Paul's safety was secure. Paul was secure in the midst of the tempest and storm and the waves. And that is how it is for the others too. Many are blessed for the Christian's sake. Many are blessed for his sake. And the righteous, as I said, the right, last righteous man, not a great star or a great statesman, a great politician, very sort of the last righteous man. There was none left, all destroyed. So it would be for this world. But to others be of good cheer, but abide in the ship, that is the word. All safe at last, and if we abide in Christ, we shall be safe forever. He will bring us to that place of desired haven. Oh, to that end, may the Lord bless these few thoughts to everyone.